Jen Zaffirelli.
2FM. And a very good morning to you. It is Monday, the 29th of May. I'm Jennifer Zamparelli and I'm with you till 12. Now, as we know, the cost of living crisis has been going on for, well, over a year now. Fuel costs have come down a bit and reductions in the price of butter and milk hit the headlines earlier this month. Lots of talk of supermarket price caps in the UK today, but will it happen here? I don't know, but financial advisor Owen McGee is a right scab and he's here to tell us all and how to save a few quid.
You know what? I'm always waiting for that first comment from you. There's always, you hit me hard somewhere. That one's all right. We'll take that one.
Yeah, take that one. Take that as a compliment. How's things?
Things are great. And do you know actually that I quote you when I'm doing corporate gigs, when I'm speaking to businesses or whatever and have a group of people, I always quote you because you said to me one time, Owen, Owen McGee, you're a financial planner. You must be miserable on a night out. I said, no, that's not actually the case. But it's not the case. I really concentrate on spending money on stuff that adds value to my life.
Yeah.
And I try and strip out the stuff that I spend money on that doesn't add value to my life. So I have more to spend on the stuff that does add value. So
that's a really good way of looking at things.
It is. And there's loads of stuff that we just spend on. And like we just, particularly at the moment with inflation and when we're all kind of penny pinching and trying to figure it out, try and keep the stuff you like in your life, but strip out the stuff you don't. And then you've got more money. And that's the key to it. And it's really simple. It's really straightforward. You do the little things right repeatedly and you can have big results over time.
Okay, let's talk about what's happening out there, because post-pandemic supply chains and Putin's attack on Ukraine are the main causes we hear about for the cost of living rise. But how much of it is greedflation, you know, with companies taking advantage of us? We see it with the fuel prices and all that kind of stuff. How much of it is greedflation?
We have to be careful here. We have to be really careful here because the costs for everybody, not just your gas and electricity, but the restaurants' gas and electricity and the shops and the plants that are making the products, everyone's gas and electricity prices have gone up. Everything's gone up for everybody. If you go into a restaurant and you have a good experience, you'll probably tell maybe two people. If you go into a restaurant and have a bad experience, you're likely to tell 10 people.
Yeah.
And one of the issues we have here is that, yes, there are companies out there who are taking part in greedflation. They are really just taking advantage of the situation to drive up their own prices and in turn to drive up their own profits. But they are few and far between, in my opinion. And we have to be careful that we don't paint everybody with the same brush.
Okay.
Most people are trying to just get on. Most businesses are trying to be fair. Their costs have gone up, so therefore their prices have to go up in order to keep the doors open. And that's what they have to do. And most businesses, when you talk to them, they worry that if they drive prices up too quickly, they will lose their customer. And that's how the world works. Like, if you are too expensive, people will march with their feet and they'll go somewhere else and you will lose that customer. So there is a balance to be had, but absolutely no question about it. There are companies out there who are just taking the mick and they're saying, here's a big chance for me to drive up my costs, make a big win off it, and nobody's going to notice because I'll wrap it up in this inflation thing.
Now, the price of a pint is a great way that you would use to explain inflation to people.
Yes.
Go for it.
Well, if you think about it, like when you look at all the different things that go into a pint, if you think about from the grown out of the ground stuff, all the natural product that you have to get to, then you have to pay for the labour to take it out of the ground, then you have to pay for the transport to get it to the brewery, then you have to pay for the process in there, the light and heat in the brewery, everything. And then it's the transport out to the pub itself or out to the shop floor. And all of those things combined show us in a way that we understand the different connections and links that actually drive up the cost of a pint. And when you look at it, often the publican, like we were talking about a second ago, the publican is the one who's, oh yeah, they're gouging prices and everything else. But actually, it's quite public when one of the big breweries decides to put up prices. It can be quite public to see this is what the price rise is going to be. And when that's publicised, then the publicans get a little bit more support about, well, I'm just passing on the costs that are there. But the reality is that everything in the chain, supply chain, is there in the pint. And we understand the supply chain because we understand the hops are there. We understand whatever else is there. But everything feeds into driving up prices. And let's not forget, inflation is created by demand and supply. It's really simple when you actually break it down.
Mm-hmm.
When there's loads of demand for something and very little supply, the person supplying that will charge a little bit more in order to, because they can, right? Whereas if there's very little demand for something and loads of supply, the supplier has to reduce the price in order to meet the demand so that they can offload their product. And it's as simple as demand and supply.
Let's talk about this. The hourly minimum wage to go from 11:30 to 15:30. Is that the answer or is that going to add to the problem?
Could you imagine the squeeze on some businesses? Now, some businesses will be able to take it and they'll be able to pass it on and be able to go there. But the squeeze on some businesses would be incredible. For businesses, particularly in the service industry, they would tell me, they would describe that the minimum wage doesn't apply to them. It used to, like jobs that used to take the minimum wage. But they're struggling so badly at the moment to try and get staff in the first place that they have to pay more than minimum wage to get them in the door.
Mm-hmm.
We do have to be careful about pay rises being the solution to this inflation problem.
Okay.
Like if you think about it for a second, if you're the only person in the country who gets a pay rise and you get a 10% pay rise, well done, you've just beaten inflation. But back to my demand supply, if everybody in the country gets a pay rise, all it does is increases demand and supply doesn't keep up. And one of the reasons why this inflation problem is so vast and so strong at the moment is because we went from a world that was completely closed during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And usually every 3 to 5 years, we have a problem with the economy, right? Globally, we have a problem roughly every 3 to 5 years. And what happens usually is the economy starts to open up, businesses start to grow again and things start to go up after a problem has happened. They slowly open up again, demand goes up, supply goes up, and they kind of keep pace with each other. What happened with us was we went from completely closed to completely open overnight. And the demand shot up, the supply wasn't there. And all you have to do is look at this time last year, airports.
Yeah,
the demand for people to leave the
that.
Country was massive, but the supply, which was a service mm-hmm. in this case for the airports across the world, the supply wasn't there and it caused a backlog. And that's literally what's happened. We've gone from completely closed to completely open overnight, and usually economies kind of heat up over time, and this hasn't happened this time. So we have just driven on, and now what will happen is we need supply to keep up. But if we keep raising our wages, which is very attractive, and if you're the only one who gets it, great. But if we keep raising our wages for everybody, demand just keeps going up in supply. We could end up in what's called a hyperinflation situation.
Ugh, I don't like the sound of that.
No, you don't. Unless you've loads of debt. If you've got loads of debt, well, then you've got loads of savings. Inflation's an awful thing. If you've got big loans, well, your loan isn't as bad as it was this time last year.
Okay, so for the average person listening, is it the case where we just have to weather the storm and be careful and take control over things that we have control over?
Absolutely. Like, I know this is a real used phrase, but I use it all the time. Control your controllables. Like, we cannot decide as an individual how much Ireland as a country pays for diesel and petrol, right? But you can't decide which petrol station you're buying your diesel or your petrol
from. And where
you
shop and how you shop.
And how you shop. And let's not forget, right, there is kind of talk of recessions again, and are we going into a recession? The first thing to say to your listeners is recession often for some people of a certain age cohort will hear the word recession and think 2008. 2008 was the worst recession. Ireland was probably in the micro centre of it for the global financial crisis. 2008 was the worst we've had since 1929, mm-hmm. right? Recession does not always equal 2008. We could go through two quarters in a row. The recession is just two quarters in a row where we've had negative growth, right? You could go through it, it could be announced, and we could be out the other side of it without realising. So don't get caught up when the media says recession, that this is a big problem for us. But we do have to ride the storm a little bit. And one of the things I would say is if there was a recession coming out, and I'm not saying there is, by the way, I don't know, right? And people better than me can make those guesses instead of me. But if we are, don't underestimate when you're spending money choosing Irish. Like, people think about this. I asked my Instagram followers at one stage, if you had the exact same product being sold by an Irish company and an international company, same product, but the Irish company was a little bit more expensive, where would you buy it from? And they said the Irish company. 83% of them said the Irish company.
Wow.
And I went, wow, I'm not sure. I think that's easy when you're sitting at home on a Saturday night picking on
an
Instagram
poll.
That's
the right thing to do,
yeah.
But would I do it
would
in reality?
It? And the reality is that when you spend in an Irish shop, okay, well, actually, let's have, if you spend in an international shop, you spend a euro, about 20 cent goes back into the economy, into the Irish economy. You spend a euro in an Irish shop or coffee shop or whatever it is, an Irish owned business, about 250 goes back into the economy. There's a multiplication factor there that works where basically the money gets recycled into the economy. And it's really good that you keep the money in the Irish economy, and nobody in Milan or Berlin or anywhere else is going to come and drink in your coffee shop or your local pub or eat in your restaurant or get their hair done in your hair salon.
Mm. Interesting. Can we talk about what's going on across the water? Because we have to. So the British government are considering price caps for shoppers. What's your take on that?
So the suggestion here is that they're going to tell shops you cannot charge any more than this for individual products.
Okay.
Okay. That's very interfering. In my, like, businesses are businesses. As we said at the very start, your business either thrives because you've got your pricing right, you serve your customers well and customers come to you, or it fails because you get your pricing wrong and your service is bad, or one or the other. And what I would say is that I would just be very careful about price caps. Now, I think where the underlying current here is that there's a suggestion both here and in the UK that some of these shops may be price gouging or greedflation, as we've described earlier on, and they're trying to curb this. I don't think the solution here is to say you can't charge any more than this. I think the solution is transparency. Like, it's, if you think about it, even the simple thing like fair trade coffee.
Yeah.
Like, people will see that fair trade brand and say, you know what, I know that the person at the very start of the supply chain has been looked after.
He's
here, and
paid,
I'll choose
yeah.
that way. So I think transparency is my preferred way of, as opposed to price caps, let's see how much profit they're making there, how much profit they're making off each thing, and let the consumer decide where they go.
Lastly, we did hear last week that health insurance is the next thing to go way up. Why is that?
When you look at the standard reasons for health insurance to go up, it's got to do with, oh, sometimes you get new medical devices and they're expensive, or treatments and they're expensive, and the research is expensive. Ultimately, if we see price rises, you will see that all the health insurance companies come out and say, our costs are gone up, so we have to pass it on. That's what it comes down to.
Okay.
And it's no different than any other business. The prices are going up, and therefore we have to remember that in Ireland, we're very small from a population point of view. So we don't get some of the economies of scale that some of the other big. And what I mean by that is, if you have loads of people buying something, it's cheaper than if you've got a small number of people buying something. So what you will find is there'll be lots of reasons thrown out there as to why health insurance gone up. But ultimately, if you break it down, it's because prices are going up for them, and therefore they're passing it on because they're not going to take the hit themselves.
OK, so just to finish up, just weather the storm. Look at your finance, control the controllables.
Yes.
This is what you always say.
Yeah, control the controllables and be really mindful. Like, a challenge that I'll always throw out there is, for the next week, every time you spend money, take out your phone. And don't change your spending habits. Take out your phone. Write down coffee, 3.20 or whatever you pay for it. Pair of jeans, 80 quid or whatever it is. And don't change, but write it down. Just take your notes out. Write it down, everything you spend. At the end of the week, next week. So today is about Monday. So this is actually a good day to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Next Monday, take out your phone. Take out a pen and piece of paper. And put a line down the piece of paper. And on one side, say, added value to my life. And on the other side, say, didn't add value to my life. And separate everything off that's in your notes. And what you will end up with is a list of all the things you spent money on in the last week that added no value to your life. And just,
that's very deep for a financial planner.
Very deep. It's very simple.
You don't add value to your life. I love it. It's very deep for you. Oh, and I love it. You know, it's meaningful, and I like that, because we do. We're always spending money on just things and things that don't add value.
Think about it, Jennifer. I asked again back to my Insta followers during, I think it was lockdown too. It was one of the horrendous ones. We were all really feeling it. And I asked people, what do you miss most? You're in the middle of lockdown, what do you miss most? And people came back, well, drinks with the lads, drinks with the girls, mm-hmm. restaurants, hotels, going away. And the top five, when I looked at them, they all had something in common. We missed spending time with people. That's what we missed most. And actually, when we look at spending money, when you spend money, it might add somewhat to the experience, right? Because you feel nice, you're dressed nice, and I get that. But ultimately, what's most important to us is our connections with other people, and they're free.
If you've just tuned in, this is Owen McGee, the financial advisor. Just to remind you. Owen, that was brilliant. Thank you so much, and reminding us, you know, what it's all about and how to control our controllables. And it's not totally lost, and we are in control, and we can weather the storm. It is doable, isn't it?
It absolutely
yes.
is. The sun is shining.
There we
That's
go.
Free.
And lastly, before you go and make that list, you might need a bit of motivation before you go out and, you know, look at your finances. And I was asking you guys your song to get you motivated. This is Owen's song to get him going in the morning.
Typical financial planner song, isn't it? Eminem, Lose Yourself.
That is his song to get him going. This is what he plays before he goes into the office. Would you play this now for Monday morning in the car? Maybe?
This is my running song.
Oh, is this your
Yeah,
running
when I'm
song?
Running, yeah, and I'm feeling a bit, I'd stick this one on.
A great act. It doesn't cost you a thing to run, neither.
No,
it doesn't cost you a thing. Thanks, Owen.
Jen Zaffarelli. 2FM.